The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a leading spokesperson in many of our country's ongoing national debates and has become a clear voice for those who are seeking a return to traditional conservative values. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
President Bush set up what was called the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. This commission called on the states to pass legislation ordering the mental health screening of all school children. As a result, legislatures are coping with this issue, and the plan is running into heavy opposition. Minnesota just became the first state in the country to prohibit schools from coercing parents to either medicate their children with psychotropic drugs or submit them to mental health screening. In addition, universal developmental screening for toddlers was defeated in this year's legislative session. The liberals tried unsuccessfully to require mental health screening of all children at least once by age 3. In 2001, Minnesota became the second state in the nation to pass a prohibition against school coercion of parents to drug their children with stimulants such as Ritalin and Adderall. Subsequent incidents of coercion involving other types of drugs, such as antidepressants, convinced sponsors of the need to expand the 2001 legislation beyond the class of stimulant drugs. This year's education bill covers all psychiatric medications, not merely stimulants. Florida this year enacted a bill containing similar protections against forced medication or screening. The new law states, quote, "A public school may not deny any student access to programs or services because the parent of the student has refused to place the student on psychotropic medication. A parent may refuse psychological screening of the student." Close quote. In July, the Federal Child Medication Safety Act went into effect, requiring state education agencies to bar schools from keeping students out of class in cases where parents disagree with a recommendation to medicate a special needs child with Ritalin or other stimulants. Now we want to expand this act to include all psychotropic drugs, including antidepressants.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Parents, your children should not undergo forced mental health screening. It's bad science, it's unconstitutional, and may lead to your own child being stigmatized or over-medicated. Write Eagle Forum, Alton, Illinois, 62002, and ask for the Mental Health Packet. That's Eagle Forum, Alton, Illinois, 62002, or online, eagleforum.org. And join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
This is Christine with another Brigham Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show. He plays with matches, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Jeff Thomas here, and we're happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is a talk show with a country flavor and some common sense points of view. No, Derry, not back with us yet. However, we do have another special treat for you today. Our special guest host is Jim Beers, a longtime special guest host by now, right, Jim?
That's for sure, Jeff.
Oh, I tell you what, you're doing a bang-up job, and we appreciate you sitting in for Derry. Just to let you know, Jim has done a few shows in the past. You can find those archives on DerryBrownfield.com, and you can also click on the podcast button there and get them in a MP3 file. Jim is a retired wildlife biologist and a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And, Jim, we're just looking forward to hear what you have again for us today.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff, and thanks again, Derry, for asking me to fill in for you. It's a big job to do, but I'd like to say hello to all of Derry's listeners out there. I'm broadcasting here from Virginia, trying to fill in for Derry till he comes back, and I really appreciate the opportunity to sit in and talk with you. We had a pretty interesting show yesterday, I think. I got a lot of very positive feedback and requests for copies of it and everything else from my discussion yesterday with Mr. Will Graves about wolves and the Endangered Species Act and diseases and parasites that they carry and the way that they behave over in Asia, where there are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these wolves over there. So after that discussion yesterday, those of you that tuned into it, and for those of you that didn't, in talking about the Endangered Species Act, which is something I write about a lot and speak a lot about, we would have never thought when the act was passed that if somebody was going to bring wolves in and force them back in all over the United States, they're being forced right now into North Carolina, Arizona, New Mexico, the Great Lakes states, upper Rocky Mountains, and they're going to be spreading all over now. There was just a lawsuit recently for them to be forced back into New England. If when that act was passed, somebody would have told you that this was going to take place and that these animals were very dangerous, not only to livestock but to people, they carried a lot of diseases, I'm sure people would have said, well, I don't want to pass a law that does that. I want to help the eagle, and I want to help these other plants and animals that are in danger, but there are wolves all over the world, up in Canada and Alaska, and we don't need to force them in here because they're not endangered. But that's exactly what happened. And those of you that are familiar at all with rural living know that there's been a great deal of controversy and growing problems with wolves and with the Endangered Species Act. Now, with that understanding, if we kind of look at a new proposal, something that started in the last 10 years, that's going to do even more of the same business, it's called invasive species. And these same organizations, the animal rights groups, the environmental groups, and the same bureaucrats and the same politicians are all pushing this notion that the United States should restore the native ecosystem, whatever that is. That's what they will tell us it is. And get rid of all of the non-native or invasive species. And they want to give this authority to the federal government, and they'll talk about things like pythons in Florida and brown tree snakes in Guam and killer bees in kudzu, and people will say, well, yeah, I think that's something we ought to do about, just like they talked about the bald eagle and the peregrine falcon when they tried to get the Endangered Species Act passed. You'll notice that they don't say anything about poison ivy or brown recluse spiders or all the native things that are a real problem. But what they're trying to do with invasive species proposals is to give the federal government a whole bunch of new authority, and nowadays the states are playing along with this. When the Endangered Species Act passed, there was at least modest opposition by the states at the authority and power that the federal government was taking from them. But anymore, the states are very complicit in these things. So the latest thing is invasive species. There's laws proposed with that in the title. It's proposed to be dropped into the great big bills that have to do with other things. And it's disguised in many budget issues and everything else. And the federal agencies are all trying to start the idea that that's their mandate, that that's what they should be doing with this public land, not keeping it for you and me, not keeping it for timber production and for grazing and for hunting and fishing and all the other things that we set it aside for, but for them to close down and make it a native ecosystem. And then they'll tell you that they need to have corridors and they need to rewild and they need more money and people to get rid of all these other plants that don't belong here, according to some university professor. It's really a big scam, and it's going to lead to problems way, way beyond the problems that we've seen with the Endangered Species Act, because it covers every plant and animal under federal control and all their combinations and all of the places that they occur. And it's something that we should all be aware of and understand, and we should all oppose. We should tell our politicians that we oppose that. But in order to do that, you got to understand what we're talking about here, not just sound like they try to make opponents of the Endangered Species Act sound like they're a bunch of old fuddy-duddies that don't care about the environment like we do. What we've got with invasive species, like with endangered species, are some serious issues that are being used to implement other agendas, and that's what we've got to be aware of and stop. So today we'd like to talk a little bit about invasive species, like we did yesterday about endangered species. I think you're going to find it pretty fascinating, and we've got a guest that's going to be coming on probably after the next break here in a little bit that's going to talk to us about that. He's been involved in this for about as long as I've been out of the federal government and writing and speaking about these issues, and I came to know him a few years ago and found him to be a very knowledgeable and good fellow to work with on these issues. So we'd like to have a conversation, he and I, about invasive species. And we get through about half the program. We're going to encourage you to call in. So if you've got some ideas or suggestions or you want to point out things or try and help us, we'd sure appreciate it. And I think the other listeners would, too. It's a very important matter, invasive species, and it's going to be the subject of our program today. And, well, it sounds like we're getting pretty close to the break. So let me just turn it back over to Jeff, and I'll pick it up right after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about invasive species and then introduce our speaker for our guest for the day, okay? Jeff, to you.
Thanks, Jim. We'll be right back.
Is the Derry Brownfield Show.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected
to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
And we are back. Sitting in for Derry Brownfield, here's Jim Beers.
Hi, we're talking about invasive species. And I want to point out two things to the listeners that you should keep in mind whenever this topic is brought up. The same groups that pushed the Endangered Species Act through and made it into something that nobody ever imagined and are continuing to do that with lawsuits and government bureaucrats working with certain other groups, the same people are the ones that are pushing invasive species, and it's the same hidden agendas in there. You've got very powerful forces that want to do away with ranching and farming and hunting and logging and fishing and pets and trapping and wildlife management and forestry, and the same people that want the government to control more of your private property, as well as buy more government land and put it under government control and close it off and shut it down to any uses in management. And the same bureaucrats that want to get more money for their budgets and more people to do these things. It's the same bunch, whatever. And when we talk about invasive species, again, like endangered species, keep in mind that the Constitution of the United States set up the fact that wildlife and plants, wild plants and wild animals, should be under state control. And that the federal government's role, in as far as invasive species goes, is to control importations and to control interstate commerce, to keep things from spreading interstate if they can, and to keep out certain harmful species. And the state governments and the local governments are the ones who should be controlling noxious weeds and harmful species. And that means that you and your politicians from your state and from your county are the ones who should be deciding if you're going to have pheasants, if you're going to have wolves in there, which are an endangered species, but it's the same idea. Your discretion to have control over your environment is being taken away from you and put in Washington, D.C. And just like the Endangered Species Act has been doing that, invasive species proposals to give the federal government a role in this that's greater than what they've got today is something we should all be very cautious about. And I'd like to now introduce a guy by the name of Fred Grau. Fred's from Pennsylvania. He's a longtime farmer. He comes from a bunch of farmers in Nebraska and Pennsylvania. He's been running a family farm since 1971. What he does is he grows a specialty conservation crop called Crown Vetch today for seeds. He sells that to highway departments and others, and he does that now mainly in eastern Colorado. This Crown Vetch is used for erosion control on steep slopes. It doesn't have much maintenance that's needed on it, and it can be controlled with pesticides, or herbicides, excuse me, very well. So It's used mainly east of central Nebraska and Kansas. And because of this, Fred got wise to this invasive species stuff, and like a lot of good Americans, he stood up to do something about it. And I think it's that experience that he brings to the show today that hopefully he and I can share with you, and you can maybe give us some suggestions later, some calls in. So with that introduction, Fred, are you there?
I certainly am, Jim.
Well, it's good to hear you. And could I ask you to just kind of tell people about how you got involved in this whole business and where you see it going? And from there, you and I will just kind of carry on a conversation about it.
I tell you what, Fred and Jim, let's hang on to that because we're coming right up into a commercial break. So we'll let Fred respond to that right after this. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 988-3325.
And once again, here's Jim Beers.
Welcome back to all you listeners out there. And we're just about to start a conversation with Mr. Fred Grau, a farmer from Pennsylvania that's been in the family farm business for his whole life. And we're going to be talking about invasive species. So let me turn it over to Fred Grau from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jim. In the last segment, you had asked, I believe, you know, how I got involved with this issue, and it goes back to February of 1999 when I opened up a trade journal. And our product, this Crown Vetch, has always been, you know, a favorite of highway departments, anybody with a slope to control erosion. And there was an article that was derogatory, and immediately they referred to this executive order by President Clinton from February of 1999 called, guess what, invasive species. And it didn't take very long looking into that that I realized this wasn't just about my product or even just about agriculture. It was about land use. It was about ranching, farming, hunting, fishing. I mean, it just pervades every rural activity or land use activity that Americans undergo. And so that's how I got involved with it. And, you know, I'd already been somewhat active in some of these environmental things like the ESA. So that's kind of the how I got involved in it.
Well, you know, I kind of got involved in it the same way when I realized that they were talking about doing away with rainbow trout and brown trout and coho salmon in the Great Lakes and pheasants and chuckers and largemouth bass and out in reservoirs in the West and striped bass in the West and all kinds of things that they were making pronouncements about that didn't belong here. And I thought to myself, what do you mean they don't belong here? We brought them all over here for good reasons, and they're great additions to our environment for many reasons. But like the Endangered Species Act, a few bureaucrats and a few professors were calling the shots, and the politicians were ready to shovel money at it, like with endangered species, to make it sound like they were doing something good for the environment when really they were hurting us all. You've seen a lot of that, haven't you, with plants and some of the things you've been... I met you here in Washington, I know, several times when you were down here to try to deal with legislation that was buried in other bills or that was proposed as invasive species things, or it was hidden, a bill for invasive species that was called something else. Could you tell us a little bit about those kind of things, Fred?
Well, yeah, so far, you know, there are standalone invasive species bills, but what quite often happens is the agenda, and it is an agenda by the international environmental organizations like the IUCN and the Nature Conservancy, you know, this agenda is buried in the concept of invasive species, and that in turn is buried in some of these bills that go by other titles. So it's been pretty dangerous. So far we've been able to beat them back, but an invasive species clause in something like, let's say, a transportation bill or a forest health bill is just as deadly when it comes to court decisions and regulatory actions.
Yeah, there really is some hidden agendas here. I remember when you and I were at one of the hearings up there, the National Park Service at an invasive species hearing came in and said that things were terrible on the national parks, that there was so bad out there with invasive species, they had to form an invasive species SWAT team to tell the managers what to do, and the invasive plants and animals were killing all of the native plants out there, and it was just awful. And I had all I could do to just keep from laughing out loud. For gosh sakes, for the last 50 years, the National Park Service would not allow any management of deer on these national parks. And all the national parks here on the East Coast, at least, that I know of, look like you took a weed whacker through there because there's so many deer on them. But the parks did not allow any deer management. They could have easily allowed hunters to go in there and take some deer out each year and keep the numbers down and preserve the plants in there. But they didn't care about it when it was deer eating it up, but once they heard that there was new money or authority for the federal government for invasive species, they invented all of this nonsense about it was the invasive species that were tearing up the plants in the park. And I just thought it was funny as the dickens, but they were deadly serious about it. And most people listen to that stuff and they say, wow, that's a real problem. I guess we better let the federal government come in. It's kind of like the Katrina relief stuff. You know, like, wow, look at how bad it is if the state and local government, that we need the federal government. And these people are playing off of that very effectively.
Well, if I can say so, and this sounds like kind of a radical statement, but this whole invasive species agenda really isn't about the environment. Now, that might sound a little bit crazy, but it's really about power and money. We already have authorities such as the Noxious Weed Act and something you know more about than I do, the Lacey Act. We've got the Centers for Disease Control, these kind of existing institutions that are there to deal with truly harmful species. And what invasive species does is it gives the environmental organizations and through their cousins in the bureaucracies control over virtually all human behavior. And this is done through grants and then eventually regulation. And I hope somewhere along this conversation we'll bring in the EPA, because the EPA is seeking authority over this. In fact, there was a court decision in California that gave them authority over biological pollution, which is a synonym used for invasive species by the environmental NGOs.
You know, that's the truth, and that's something we've all got to think about. You look at your neighbors that have had endangered species problems. All of us out there have got invasive species, as they define them, somewhere near us. And when you talk about the IUCN, you're talking about the UN, you're talking about international agendas that are being matched up by our bureaucrats and our federal bureaucracy with those international agendas. And we're talking about, remember this, for the Endangered Species Act or invasive species, federal bureaucrats, state bureaucrats, political staffs, environmental organizations, conservation organizations, your trade organizations.
Hey, Jim, we got to take a break. I'm sorry.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Located in rural Missouri is a place called Heartland, a modern-day city of refuge where men, women, and children can come and find hope in the various recovery programs offered by Pastor Charles Sharp and members of Heartland Community Church. The Heartland community includes Heartland Children and Youth Homes, Heartland Recovery Programs for Adults, K-12 Heartland Christian Academy, Nations Harvest Bible College, and several businesses, including one of the largest dairy operations in the country. Every home, business, classroom, and job site at Heartland are filled with people who are reaching out with compassion of Jesus Christ to help those who are hurting. Heartland came into being as a result of prayer, and prayer continues to be the source of Heartland's daily harvest of miracles. Heartland is a true haven of spiritual healing. To learn more about Heartland, call 660-284-6212. That's 660-284-6212.
Living off the grid, that means no monthly utility bills, no electric bill, no water bill, and you know that by using renewable energies, you can save resources and lower or completely eliminate monthly utility bills. But what does it look like in practice? See the video that answers that question, Alternative Power Video. In this DVD, you'll see one man and his family make their own electricity, pump their water, and heat their house for less than $70 a year. Video chapters cover the battery system, inverter, generator, solar panels, water, heat, plus a chapter on spinning your electric meter backwards. Alternative Power Video is instructional and inspirational. Alternative Power Video, in DVD format only, is 70 minutes long for just $24.95. To order, send $24.95, check, cash, or money order to Power Video, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. For credit card orders, go to alternativepowervideo.com.
The American agriculture movement sympathizes with farmers and hurricane victims. Unfortunately, common sense environmental views were not followed by controlled, politically correct governmental officials. Instead, extremist views were followed, opposing upgrading levees along the Mississippi River, Missouri River, and many other lakes and rivers. Some extreme environmentalists aim to socialize America, destroy land rights, champion the Expired Endangered Species Act, implement United Nations Agenda 21, and destroy river dikes, levees, and dams. Join the American Agriculture Movement, the organization built and controlled by farmers. To join AAM, call 605-993-6201. That's 605-993-6201. Or go online to aaminc.org.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, and the man who says he actually enjoys arguing with idiots. It tends to free him from the constraints of having to support his arguments. Derry Brownfield!
And once again, setting in for Derry Brownfield, Jim Beers.
Yeah, we're talking this morning about invasive species, and our guest is Mr. Fred Grau from Pennsylvania. And Fred just mentioned the UN, the IUCN, and I was mentioning in our last break how a lot of people ask, well, why doesn't somebody do something about this? Where's the opposition? Why is it just a guy like Jim Beers and a guy like Fred Grau? Why don't I hear from people I know and respect? And I was mentioning the fact that the federal bureaucrats, state bureaucrats, politicians, staff people, environmental and animal rights organizations, conservation organizations, user groups like Farm Bureau, National Beef Cattlemen, and even the large sporting goods chains, remember that most of those people switch jobs with one another. A lady that used to be a big backer of invasive species at National Beef Cattlemen Association went to work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Someone that worked for the lobby groups for the state fish and wildlife agencies here in Washington in a big job switched over to the Fish and Wildlife Service. When you go inside these large sporting goods stores, you see all these invasive species on the wall, but you don't hear a peep out of anybody about opposing the federal government getting involved to get rid of them. I mean, with endangered species, we can look at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, for instance. They're supposed to represent elk hunters, and they've got wolves decimating the elk population out there in the West and the elk hunting. And all you hear from them is that they think the ecosystem is wonderful and balance it. Trout Unlimited is supposed to represent trout fishermen, and they're all in favor of getting rid of rainbow trout and brown trout, the bread and butter, most popular trout in America. So as we look at these organizations, and it's not that they're bad people or anything, remember that there's this sort of big group up there that you think you're paying money, say, to some farm organization to represent farming. And, in fact, the staff people in your main office are looking forward to getting a job with the Agriculture Department with the next administration or to switching over to work for the state organization or the federal organization. And you don't do that by being a real battler and warrior for these causes. So with that in mind, let's get back to Fred. And Fred, have you got some more examples of the way these interest groups and all the smoke and mirrors and hidden agendas in this are kind of wrapped up together?
Yeah, it's pretty complex and hard to do in a short, you know, the short period that we have, but I'm going to go to the grant factor. I mean, they're just...
Hold on a second, Fred. I forgot here. I just wanted to mention that we want people to call in. I meant to mention that before I got started here. If you could, if anybody out there wants to call in and talk with Fred and I, the number is 1-800-973-3779. That's 1-800-973-3779. And get back to Fred. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Fred, but I forgot to say that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We'd love to have some calls. But part of the problem here is the grants that the government gives out, and it's in the millions and millions. The federal government right now is estimated to be spending $1 billion a year on this invasive species agenda alone. And this is grants to the environmental organizations, it's bureaucracy building. Senator Inhofe, I think you can go to his website, and he quotes that the over one half of the EPA's budget goes for grants. It's a bottomless pit. So where there's money and to some degree power, that's where people are going to go. And then this even gets into academia, which normally we've always, you know, respected what our colleges come out with, particularly the land-grant schools that are dedicated to engineering and particularly agriculture. But even they've been corrupted by this grant process. And you'll find that, you know, virtually all of these ag schools have their own invasive species research going on that just doesn't make any sense because it's all based on species that were here or not here before 1492.
Boy, you know, we saw the same thing with endangered species and wildlife, in particular with the university professors, the endangered species grants. The same guy that comes out and tells you that this bat is endangered or that fish is endangered or this jumping mouse is endangered turns out to be the guy when they listed who's the first one in line for the grants, and he gets better tenure and he gets more graduate students, and it just sort of feeds on itself. It's just like a closed circle. And I don't know that anybody ever intended for it to be like that, but it's got all the wrong incentives in place. And the state fish and wildlife agencies have similarly, because they're more and more dependent on this federal money, gotten to be more and more organizations that work more for the federal government than they do for their own state government, which means for you and me in our state. So it's a very insidious problem with both invasive species and endangered species. And I think we could even stretch it over to the Animal Welfare Act and the Marine Mammal Protection Act that similarly distorts the American constitutional dream that's made this country so great, which is the federal government's got a limited role up there. The state and local government takes care of our day-to-day things, including our environment, other than for interstate pollution or foreign affairs and that. And it's a real problem. It really is.
Well, one of the things we're seeing is that a lot of what's being presented as science is really not science at all. It's consensus by the grant seekers, and that includes academia. In fact, we've seen cases of actual blackballing. I mean, if you write a paper that contests the concept of invasive species, you're just not going to get printed. And I think most people know about this publish or perish thing in academia. So it's The subtle corrupting influence of this politically driven agenda is it's serious stuff.
Well, I found with endangered species, and I'm sure with this too, that it's really corrupting our whole governmental system and design, and causing us long lasting problems in the whole structure of government that I think we're all going to come to realize and regret if we let it keep going the way it's going.
Well, one thing I'd like to add to what you've said, it's more for emphasis, is this is not just on public lands. I mean, I think most of the listeners probably know, you know, that the federal government owns somewhere between 30% and 40% of the land mass in America. But this has ramifications that have already come to fore on private property. And, you know, I can give you examples. One is a rancher in Nevada. When one of the government bureaucrats was testifying against him, you know, the fact that he had Kentucky bluegrass in his pasture was used as evidence of mismanagement. I mean, that's how crazy this thing has gotten to be.
And it'll get crazier and crazier. You can sure bet on it. It's you're just 100% right there, Fred. And what we've seen with endangered species should have us all really upset about these invasive species proposals that keep cropping up. The federal agencies are all making up plans for their national park and their national forest and their national wildlife refuge that talk about native ecosystems and invasive species and getting rid of these and that. It's just crazy. They have no more sense anymore that they were constructed and those lands were put there for you and me, not for the government to close down and just make some sort of little laboratory where they play with certain things. And now it's rolling over into the private lands, the idea that they've learned from the Endangered Species Act that they can take over our private land without even having to pay for it so far, has encouraged them to take this invasive species in that direction, too. It's a real threat to all of us, both because they're going to buy more federal land for it, and they're going to control more of us on our own private property with it. It's really serious.
Hey, Jim, Fred, Jeff here. We have some phone callers lined up, so if you guys are not opposed to jumping into the phone lines, we can talk to Lisa. She's in North Central Florida. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Jim, Fred, I'd just like to thank you for this program. I ran into the invasive species this August when I was invited to sit on the Blue Ribbon Panel, which was a committee put together to decide the future of Florida's forest, which is a 25-year plan that they are putting in place. One of the things that the Blue Ribbon Panel did, to the suggestion, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, of some of the environmental groups that were on the panel was to give our commission, agriculture commissioner, more authority over importation of invasive species. So listening to your program just gives me chills and helps me understand why they were doing that. And I also wanted to comment that our farmers and ranchers can sit up and start taking notice of this because our forestry division falls under the Commission of Agriculture, not some of these other commissions. So we can stop it, at least in the forestry division, if we all band together and stand up and fight this in the Agriculture Commission.
Lisa, thanks for your call. Fred, Jim, you have less than 1 minute to respond.
Well, I'll make a quick stab at it in that the U.S. Forest Service is under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and that's a good place it used to be to keep it because that was more use-oriented. But you've got a real problem in Florida because of your location, the importations that come in and out of there, and your unique weather systems down there where these tropical things can get started. So you've got some real problems down there that are specific and serious. And I guess we're about ready to go into the break, and we'll pick it up when we come back from there. Thanks.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making featuring bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calben Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calben at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calben Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbenpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
And we are back, sitting in for Derry Brownfield today, Jim Beers.
Okay, we were talking at the break. We got a call from Lisa down in Florida about her being on a blue ribbon panel down there in Florida, concerned with invasive species on their state forest, and it's under the Agriculture Commission. And Fred, have you got any comments on that?
Yeah, a real quick comment on what Lisa was talking about. This blue ribbon panel, probably another name for that, are these infamous stakeholder groups. And I've never seen one that was fairly balanced. The recent one in Pennsylvania had, there were 22 members of a stakeholder group or a blue ribbon panel, and 18 of them were from government agencies. So Lisa or anybody with common sense and from the private sector, you're going to be outnumbered in these things. It's a very biased system. And then one other real quick thing, when she talked about importation, we have in this country a blacklisting system. In other words, if a plant or an animal is known to cause harm, we don't let it in. But even the U.S. Department of Agriculture is considering whitelisting, where nothing will be allowed to be imported unless proven to be non-harmful. And I'll kind of leave it at that because we don't have time, but think about that for a minute. If we did that back in 1700 or 1609, we wouldn't have cattle, we wouldn't have orchard grass, we wouldn't have alfalfa. It's a really dangerous concept.
You bet it is. Good point. Good point.
Jim, we've got plenty of callers.
Okay.
We're outnumbered, so we'll work as quickly as we can. Don in Ohio. Don, you're on the air.
I'd just like to bring up the point that the Invasive Species Act has a huge loophole in it that's going to let Monsanto trucks drive right through, since they're all invasive species these days, but they're not saying anything bad about them.
Well, I'd like to just make the point that we know more today than we ever have in the history of man about chemicals and about their uses and about their impacts, and I think that we should not be any more afraid of using chemicals for certain things and looking at what they do, and certainly not using some, then we should have nuclear power. I don't think that Monsanto's a bad name. I don't think chemicals are bad. I don't think pesticides or herbicides are bad, although there are many of them that are, and that we've got to be cautious with them. And those that we do use, we should use appropriately. But the idea that that is somehow trumps everything and we should all go bury our head in the sand is not something I agree with. What do you think, Fred?
Jim, this thing about this is a great comment by Don, and one thing that particularly farmers need to understand is that the GMOs, in other words, the genetically modified organisms, such as our Roundup Ready soybeans and crops like that, they are in the crosshairs of these invasive species people. I mean, they're the ultimate in invasive species, according to these people. I mean, this is a miracle agricultural revolution that's actually being threatened by this natives-only agenda. Because eventually, and this bill that was introduced in California, you know, actually states that genetically modified crops are considered invasive species.
Hey, Fred, we're going to take a break. Jim, we're going to take a break. Don, thanks for the calls. There are plenty more calls where that came from. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Wendell Fleshman's been in business 25 years at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction, and he's holding a special calf and yearling sale along with his 25th anniversary barbecue dinner, Monday, October the 31st. Now, this will be the beginning of the fall run, and Wendell's expecting 3,500 head with one consignment of 850 head, all home-raised and carrying the white tag vaccination program. This is Oscar Menz's Adrian Farm spring calf crop, and you can call Oscar at the ranch, 660-265-4356. There are several 100 to 150 head strings coming off one owner farms. A high percentage have had all their vaccinations, castrations, and health and condition on these cattle and calves is the very best. Gail and Helen Martin will be in with a 150 head string of fancy five weights, all white tag. Kenneth Hill has a 125 head string. This is just a couple of the early consignments. I plan on speaking at the barbecue later in the evening. That's for the special sale at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction, Monday, October the 31st. Despite popular beliefs, experience is not the best teacher. It's the worst teacher. Learning from your mistakes is expensive and time-consuming. The best way to learn is by other people's experience. And when it comes to protecting your private property rights, the Paragon Foundation has lots of experience. The Paragon Foundation has been down a few long, hard roads and have learned a lifetime of lessons. So learn your lessons the easy way. Join the Paragon Foundation today. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas. Get a free copy of the Paragon magazine and support the Paragon Foundation today by calling toll-free 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877, that's toll-free, 847-3443. 43, or go on the web at paragonfoundation.org.
Hey, Jim, Fred, we're in the home stretch. That means we'll go as quickly as we can back to the phone lines and say hello to Julie in Ohio. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to mention something I hadn't heard yet this morning, and that is that there is a split according to these different pieces of legislation and a lot that's out there in the world in the media about native and non-native, as though anything that's non-native is also invasive. And I know that it was touched upon earlier when Jim started introducing the show about the fact that poison ivy and the brown recluse spider and things like that, they're actually native species, but they're definitely invasive. And I wanted to say very quickly that I greatly appreciate you having the show, and that I have a website called propertyrightsresearch.org that has an extensive button, especially on invasive species. There's also a button for Jim Beers for some of his articles that pertain to property rights. And I'd encourage folks to please learn more about this because it's very important. But I did want to mention to Jim and to Fred that there's an article just last week from the Department of Interior. It was a press release. And they are now asking their employees to do fundraising in addition to their salaries for their projects, which include invasive species now.
Well, Julie, thanks for the call, and it doesn't surprise me what you said about the fundraising for this. It's considered almost a religious thing, this invasive species business. And the native, non-native designations and the invasive designations, to be honest with you, there's no science involved in them at all. They're all terms of art. And there are two kinds of people, I think, that we all should keep in mind in the United States today. There's those that think that their values and ideas should be forced on others because they're the right ones, period. And then there's those that think it's a blessing that we and our neighbors are free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness while we pursue ours. And I think what we're saying is that we should all be able to use our property the way we want, and that we should not have to have somebody else's idea of how we live our lives forced on us. And that's really what invasive species and endangered species is all about. Fred, what do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, just going back just for a quick second there on what Julie said, fundraising, it's hard not to laugh because the federal government is already spending $1 billion, that's a B there, $1 billion a year on this agenda. So I don't know how much more fundraising they need.
Hey, let's go back to the phone lines real quick because Bill in New Jersey has a comment about agendas. Bill, keep it quick if you can, please.
Sure. What I told the screener was the agenda. The hidden agenda behind it all seems to go a little bit further than what you're talking about. In my opinion, it's to totally eliminate the people from this country and keep a certain group here as one big park. I mean, that's what it looks to me like. Now, maybe to you it's different.
Well, Bill, I agree with you 100%. They want to clear the rural countryside. They want us living in the cities where they can tell us that we'll live in a small apartment and use public transportation and just do what they tell us. And that is actually what most of them want, and most of them are going to try and get.
Bill, thanks for your call. Sorry about that. Hey, Jim, Fred, we're within about a minute and a half, so put a tail on it if you can.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Fred in a second, but I just want to thank Derry for asking me on here, and I've really enjoyed the call and the opportunity to talk to you folks. So, Fred, what do you think?
Well, that was a great comment from Bill there in New Jersey, because that's exactly what's going on. I myself attended what was called a Wildlands Conference at Penn State, and that was one of the scariest meetings I've ever been to. And what they're calling for is the elimination of human activity in this area. I mean, a lot of people out there in the West have heard of the Buffalo Commons concept, but in the East, they want to take a string of the Allegheny Mountains from Alabama clear up into Canada and essentially depopulate it. So Bill is absolutely right. Of course, they aren't going to eliminate all people from the United States, but that is part of the Wildlands Project, and all these environmental agendas tie in together.
Yep. Thanks very much, Fred. And I've read books about the way the Scots cleared the English cleared the Scots people and the Irish people for a couple hundred years out of the countryside and took it over themselves. And these environmental and animal rights people and bureaucrats and that really see themselves in the same role, having it all for themselves. And I think we all need to stand up about that. But
hey,
thanks,
Jim,
a lot for everybody for listening.
You bet. We're out of time. We got to go. You have a great day. We'll see you later. Bye.
Happy trails. Smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds that we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails to you till we meet.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.